Amen and amen. Wednesday afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Time, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Pass Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Well, anyway, that's where the meeting house is. I'm in parts unknown, but, out here, today to bring to you some more truth in a world of confusion, in an age of absolute confusion, in an age of satanic trickery, in an age of transformation, pagan pulpits, pagan pulpits. That's what we have today. We have pulpits in America that are full of pagan preachers. They are full of a bunch of fruits and nuts. And children are their oppressors, women rule over them, fruitcakes come to visit them and stay for very long time, and preachers, gospel preachers are hated today. Now, albeit most of America is sleeping, most of the pastors in America today are asleep. They aren't fighting anything. They aren't letting their voice be known. They aren't opposing evil. They are hiding in the four walls of their meeting house and trying to cover up and thinking that everything will be fine if they just hide there. They are not facing evil. They are not facing it down. They are not, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving them. They are not reproving the unworks of darkness. They are going to sleep. They are taking nappy wappies like Aaron does when he's tired. That's what they're doing. They're taking their little nappy wappies and they're going to sleep and they're sucking on their thumbs while the whole world goes to hell, while the sodomites are banging down the doors of the church houses, kicking them in, setting them up, inviting them into their rooms and prostituting their children. Right in front of their eyes, defiling their children. Because the pulpits are just absolutely full of lost men that have never been soundly converted by the Word of God, never been changed supernaturally by the power of God. So they're not fighting anything. They're not mad at sin. They're not angry at anything anymore. The only thing they're angry about is if some preacher stands up and tries to wake them up out of their sleep. Then they get angry. It's what happens. It's what's going on today. All over the place. All over the pagan pulpits of America. All over it. There is a transformation that has taken place. They are transforming the pulpits all across the country and the world today. That's what's going on. Coldness, deadness that is going on. The Bible talks about it. Jesus warned about it in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Anya Dika promises, I feel as though I have grieved the Spirit of God away. I'm Nigerian. I've been living in fear and trepidation. My heart is now in an adamantine stone. Help me, please. Here's how I can help you. Draw near to Christ. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Get close to Christ, and he'll melt your heart. The closer you get in communion with the Holy Ghost of God through Jesus Christ, through looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the more powerful you'll get in the Lord, the more boldness you'll get in the Lord. God will heat your heart up one seven times hotter than any furnace of this earth. The closer you walk with Jesus Christ, you need to walk with Jesus. The only cure for lukewarmness, the only cure for any of that is found in Revelation. Here it is. I think it's Revelation chapter 3. Here it is. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So what's the answer? The answer is clear. I counsel thee, here is Christ's counsel to the lukewarm. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. When we ever come to a place in our Christian life where we feel as if God is very far from us, that God has deserted us. It is not a new thing. It is in the scriptures all the way in the Psalms. It's talked about over and over again. The only way to get the fire lit is to stay close to the flame. The only way to stoke the fire hotter is to stay close to the flame. You got to get close to Jesus. You got to knock on the door and you got to keep knocking until he answers. That's what you got to do. You got to keep knocking. You got to draw closer to Christ. That's it. That's the answer. And God does take his saints through desertion sometimes where they feel as if they are absolutely lost and destitute. But that is an invitation for you to draw close to God. That is an invitation for you to draw close to the Lord and to follow him and to seek his face. All over the Psalms we see it. David went through it. Asaph went through it. Many of God's people went through it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. You go back to the source. You go back to Christ. And you learn of him, and you sit at his feet, and you learn of him, for he is meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You go to Christ, and you learn of him. You go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you sit down in sorrow for a while. If God sends you to the house of sorrow, then worship him there. That's what you do. Because he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So you go to him, the person of Christ. That's who you go to. If you want to be closer to God, then you draw close to Christ and you learn of him. You study his earthly life. You go into the Gospels and you study the earthly life of Christ and all that he suffered and all that he went through. And all of his trials and tribulations. And you enter into the sorrow of the man of sorrows. And God will give you grace. All right. Let's see here. You know, the Bible warns us also. The Bible warns us of creeps. A bunch of creeps. These pagan pulpits are full of a bunch of creeps. They're real creeps. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was once delivered. Once delivered. Man, I'm a little cold. Putting it on full blast. Heating it up a little bit in here. I'm a little cold. All right. It's not that cold in here. I don't know why I'm cold. I just am. Anyway. All right. That you should earnestly... Why? For there are certain men crept in. Well, who creeps in? The creeps. They crept in. Unawares. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Are you listening? Ungodly men. These are ungodly men that I'm going to show you today. They're creeps. And they're ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires. Wantonness, lustfulness. They're perverts and creeps. I could title this Pagan Pulpits, Perverts and Creeps. And it would be accurate. And I would make more people mad at me. But that's okay. It's the truth. Tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. They're creeps. They're perverts. That's what they are. The creeps and the pervs. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. So there needs to be a remembrance. There needs to be a remembrance. Is what needs to happen. These men have crept in unawares. They are false prophets. They are pagans. They are perverts. Pagan perverts in the pulpits. What a title. Pagan perverts in the pulpit. That's going to be Carl's favorite title. Pagan perverts in pulpits. There's your Donald Trump's PPP loan right there. Pagan perverts in pulpits. But they are. By the way, when did the real men in pulpits become so absolutely skittish? That they think, well, I must say this absolutely perfect. And if I don't say this absolutely perfect and very professional and very nice and sweetie and kind, nobody's going to listen to me and everybody's going to hate me. Who cares? These people are like queering your kids and everybody's standing around like, hey, what's up? Let's bake cupcakes today. Shall we bake cupcakes today? It'll be great. Like, I mean, they're queering your kids. And that's all the zeal you can muster up? Really? Yeah, that's it. That's all they can muster up. Whole world's going to hell around them. Church is being defiled by a bunch of creeps and perverts. What are they going to do? I guess have a drag queen story hour. Now, see, there's a fundamental transformation that is taking place. They are not going to stop having churches in America. That's not how the Antichrist works. That's not what they're doing. They're not going to stop doing that. They're going to pervert the ones that are there. And they're going to still call it the church. It won't be the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It will be the church of Antichrist. That's what it'll be. Years ago. I mean many years ago. Let's see if I can find it. Man, I preached a lot about the Antichrist and Antichrist stuff. Look at all that. Goodness. You think I actually believe that there was an Antichrist coming and that there's that spirit that is already now in the world today? Yeah. Guess so. Let's see, it should be back here somewhere. Here it is. I preached this back in 2015. Counterfeit Christians filling the church of Antichrist. That's it. 2,000 people listen to that on here. Hopefully somebody got saved. Amen. That's what we hope for. Person said, I've tried repenting, but my heart is too hard. Well, keep knocking on the door of Christ. He'll soften your heart. He'll do it. Now, these people are so absolutely pagan. This, I've talked about this Revoice group before. This man blasphemes the gospel, totally turns it into something about coming out of the closet. He likens coming out of the closet as a sodomite, as the death, burial, and the resurrection. Not a death of sin. Not a death of self. At all. Paganism. They're teaching a pagan Antichrist rising from the phoenix, from the ashes, from the flames. All it is.
So it's okay to wait to be sure, and to find the right people to come at you, find people who you feel safe with, and to come out at your own pace. Mm-hmm. People who are safe for you to come out to will understand. So you don't have to feel pressure. I know I can speak. I tend to think of coming out as like a death and resurrection metaphor. That's my whole thing. Henry knows I talk about this.
Okay, so he's likening the gospel to coming out of the closet as a sodomite. You're not supposed to come out of the closet as a sodomite. You're supposed to repent of sexual sins. You're supposed to repent of perversion, you creep. You're supposed to repent of it. You're not supposed to come out as anything. But come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers. You know what this come out is? Coming out is? Look, I'll show you. Here it is. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. That's the only coming out you're supposed to do. Coming out of sin and wickedness, repenting of your sins, and putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone to change your wicked, old, nasty, perverted, creepy heart, and to make you a new creature in Christ.
All the time. Mm-hmm. but that can end up putting pressure on people to come out quickly, or to come out in a certain way. And I don't want that pressure to weigh down on anyone. So what you said, Joanna, was so, so wise. And I think for me, what that immediately connects to is, yes, again, all my thinking of the closet as a death and resurrection metaphor, but like a unique Christian insight.
That's not Christian. You see how anti-Christ and devilish these people are? There is nothing about what he said that was Christian. Christians, repent. You remember that. Christians, repent of sin. If they don't, they're not Christians. Christians do not live in open sin and condone it. They don't live in sexual sins and condone it. They don't live in perversion and condone it. They don't do that. Christians acknowledge their sin. And this sin is without natural affection. It's not natural.
Into spirituality is that the very places of death can be the places where God does the most miraculous work.
Won't he do it?
And if the closet is that place of death, that doesn't mean it's a purely negative place, because death for the Christian is never just death. Death always leads to life.
Yeah.
And so that, like, I think most people experience the closet in some sense.
Most people don't experience the closet. You pervert. Most people don't. This is their way of normalizing evil and sin. That's the way they do it. It's satanic. It's devilish. It's pagan. They're not Christians. They're pagans. And I like telling them that's what they are. I like telling them, you're a pagan. You're not a Christian. I like telling them, you're pagans. You're not Christians. You are a bunch of pagans. Hands down, no question about it, pagans.
As a tomb, where there is no life. And that experience is true, but the longer you spend there and the more aware of yourself you become, you start to realize perhaps that God is there too. Or you can realize that God is there too. And then it ceases to be a prison so much as it becomes a place of intimacy. You can really draw on that experience in the closet, even after you've left the closet. Mm-hmm. The closet can become something really beautiful.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. The closet can be something really beautiful. That guy's lost. He's not only lost, he's a false prophet. He's not only a false prophet, He's preaching damnable heresies. He's turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And he's trying to make you believe and others believe that homosexuality is normal. It's not normal. It's against nature. It's sinful. God hates it.
The tomb becomes a garden. The closet becomes like this space where you can meet one-on-one with God. So,
I mean, if I woke up every day and I had to be effeminate like that, and I talked like that, and I acted like that, that would kill me alone. That would just kill me. They have a spirit. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. And it's in them. And they are pagans. They are pagans. That's what you have to understand. Their pulpits are transformed, and they are pagans. And they are going to push an Antichrist agenda, and they are going to do it in churches, and they are going to use these places called churches to do it, because they are preparing people for the Antichrist. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. I want to show you something. These are the trans. For such are false apostles, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Look! Look closely. Deceitful workers. False apostles. They are not sent by God. An apostle is a sent one. They are false apostles. They have not been sent by God. They have been sent by the Antichrist spirit. They've been sent by Satan. They are false sent ones. Do you understand? That's what they are. They are false sent ones. They are deceitful workers. That man is deceitful. He is a deceitful, not only a deceitful person. It doesn't say that they are deceitful persons. No. It says they are deceitful workers. They are deceitful in their work that they do. Yeah. Get it? They have a deceitful work to perform. Transforming themselves. This is the work that they do. What is their work? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They transform themselves into the sent ones of Christ. That's what Revoice does. That's what all of them do. Pagans. They are pagans. That's what they are. And this issue is not going away. I talked about it 10 years ago, and I warned you about it then, and I'm telling you now, 10 years later, it is not going away. Now they're in pulpits. Now they control pulpits. For such are false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They are transformed as ministers of righteousness. So he comes there and he talks about, oh, it's a death. The closet is a death, but God is there. So it's not really a death. God is there. So where there's death, you know, he's likening it to the pictures of the gospel. The only problem is he's not talking about denying your flesh, taking up your cross, and following Christ. He's preaching a gospel of lasciviousness. That's what he's doing. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What he's doing. Not only him, that's what they do. That's their work. That's their deceitful work. It's the deceitful work that they do. If anybody can't tell that T.D. Jakes is the biggest flamer in all the world, that guy is fruitier than a fruit salad. There's absolutely no way around that. So he meets with Beto O'Rourke. Right? He meets with him. It was an honor to be welcomed in the Potter's House by Bishop T.D. Jakes. Thank you for having me at this morning service in Dallas. Pro-abortionist, pro-LGBTQ politician. T.D. Jakes has him in. Why? Because he's a devil. That's who he is. You can tell he is. He does all these manly I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't come out as a bisexual or as a homosexual. I would not be shocked if he doesn't come out. Because he's done all these man conferences and men's conferences and everything else. And then he'll come out and say that, then he'll be like, oh, see, real true men are sodomites too. Well, look, he hung out with Tyler Perry. He got anointed by a cross-dressing queer. The only way Tyler Perry makes $1 billion as a black man in Hollywood is if he dresses up like a woman. It's the only way. You don't break through the sodomite curtain without dressing like a woman as a black man. They have to take the manhood of every black man away, and they have to get them to dress like a woman. Every single black man. In order for them to break into that billions, every single black man has to be, they have to take their manhood away from them. So what do? They put them in a dress. Don't believe me? Look at all the multi-million dollar black men that they all have to wear drag. They all have to, why? Because what did I teach you about drag queens? What did I show you about drag queens a few weeks ago? I showed you that Sybil or those other false gods or Diana, if a man wanted to worship Diana, what did he have to do? He put on female garments and he danced before Diana. It's a ritual. They have to take their manhood away. Martin Lawrence did it. Eddie Murphy did it. Tyler Perry did it. The Rock did it. All of them have to do it. And there's plenty more that have done it. I just don't know all their names. They have to. Will Smith, Kevin Hart. Right? So these pagan pulpits are filled with perverts that prostitute the pulpit. They prostitute the pulpit out. So he prostitutes the pulpit out. But he did. Put Beto in there. Right? So all these churches, right, what are they doing? They're pagan pulpits. All they're doing is just setting up for they're transforming what they call the church. They're just transforming it. That's all they're doing. It's a transformation. That's what it was. Or that's what it is. That's what's happening right now. See, here's the thing I want you to understand. If you leave the Bible as your authority, then anything else that you do has no basis at all biblically. So then what I mean by that is that there are no more rules. When you leave the inspired record of the Word of God, the King James Bible, when you leave that King James Bible and your objective standard of authority is no longer the Bible, but it's your own thinking or the world's thinking or someone else's thinking, your authority is gone and you're capable of anything. You, under the sound of my voice, myself, any of us, if we leave the Word of God, sky's the limit on how wicked we can get. Because we have no more standard objective of truth. Or it is absolute 100% truth. We're done. We're just done. So, Here's an example of that. I know I'm banging this drum again, ladies. Dress like a lady. Breeches are for men. You call them breeches. The Bible calls them breeches. They were for men to gird up their loins with. They weren't for women. Wear skirts and dresses. Dress like a lady. When a drag queen wants to be noticed as a woman, he dresses like a woman in a long flowing skirt or dress. That's how they do it. Why? They want to identify as a woman. They know that identifies them as a woman. You know that identifies you as a woman too. So dress like one. That will make a ton of people mad. You know, there are people, again, there are people that won't come to our church that because I preach those things. Do I have a dress code at the church? No, I don't have a dress code. God has one. I don't have one. But I do preach what the Bible says. And that makes a lot of people mad at me. But I'm not a hypocrite, though. I don't just get mad at drag queens. I get mad at Christian cross-dressing, too. I don't like that either. And that makes me not popular. But that's okay. Because I maintain that if you continue down the slippery slope, you're going to accept all of this stuff. You're going to accept all of it. You're going to accept everything they do. Why? Well, how can you judge against it? How can you speak against it? When you participate in it. How can you? It's just true, friend. It just is. And I know it's not comfortable. I know it's not. I get it. I get it. I know preachers that won't teach on this and won't talk about this. Christian modesty and women dressing like ladies. They get mad at it. They won't talk about it. Why? Because women get mad. They just get angry. But right is right. Here it is right here. Biblical modesty. Should Christian women wear pants? You check it out. It's right there on sermonaudio.com. Right there. Check out the whole series on biblical modesty. We don't shy away from truth because people are offended by it. If I'm going to preach on drag queens, I'm going to be consistent and I'm going to preach on Christian cross-dressing too. Just how it is. I can't be any other way. If I was, I wouldn't be worthy to preach the Word of God. I just wouldn't be. God makes us worthy and the Lord blesses obedience. I'd be a hypocrite. Let's see. Now I want to show you another absolute perversion here. Absolute perversion here. By the way, what shocks me is that women actually want to argue about those things. Given the light of how far we've come and how dark this world is getting, that women want to argue about these things just baffles the mind. It really does. Okay, so here are the twisters of scripture right here. Remember what did I tell you they were? Are you ready? Remember, I'm going to go back to that. Deceitful, for such are false apostles, they're false sent ones, deceitful workers, they're deceitful. What are they, how are they, they're taking scripture and they're deceiving people. That's what they're doing. They're purposely deceiving people. The Bible says they handle the word of God deceitfully. Paul said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Amen, Mary. That's good to hear. All right. Here we go. Are you ready? This is the deceitful worker. He's lying. He speaks with forked tongue. He might actually have one if you look at his... Well, maybe. Anyway.
In Acts chapter 8, the disciple Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, a eunuch in Bible times was a person who was castrated or otherwise gender ambiguous because of their birth or a biological condition. They frequently served in the temple, and they were holy people at the time. Now, what's significant about this passage is that Philip spots the eunuch going away from the religious center of the time. He finds him on the side of the road. He explains the gospel to the eunuch, and the eunuch says, let's do this thing right now. Let's be baptized. And what happens was the disciple baptized the eunuch, a.k.a. trans person.
He's not an a.k.a. trans person. Nothing in the Bible says he was a transgender. Nothing in the Bible says that he changed his gender. Or attempted to change his gender. He was a eunuch that took a vow of celibacy that he would not marry. That he would not have relationships with a woman or a man, obviously. But that wasn't a problem back then as much as it is now. But that he would not. They're lying. He's lying. Or whatever this thing is. I don't know what this thing is. I don't know what that thing is. I have no clue. You might get mad at me. I don't know what this thing is. I don't know what it is. So what did he do? He just deceitfully changed the Bible. And by the way, the Holy Ghost led Philip there. And the fact that he was going away from the revival, just listen.
And affirmed their personhood.
He didn't affirm his personhood. How do you twist that like that? Nowhere in the Bible does it say anything like that. He just made it up. It just made it up. I don't know what it is. That thing made it up.
Furthermore, he did it away from the religious center of the time. He did it on the side of the road. You want to know why? Because it doesn't matter if the mainstream business of the church approves of your orientation, because God does, and God loves you no matter what. If you choose to believe in Christianity, there is a home for you as an LGBTQ person.
That's a lie. That's a lie. What it's preaching is that Jesus doesn't change people. Jesus said they were without natural affection. Paul said that they were without natural affection. Jesus said in the beginning, he made them male and female. Not trans. In the beginning, he made them male and female. That's what Jesus has to say about the transgender movement. In the beginning, he made them male and female. You look at the Gospels, that's what Jesus said. What are they teaching? Oh, you can be anything you want. You can call yourself anything you want. You can be anything you want. You can call yourself anything you want. Right? Doesn't matter. You just, you know, call yourself whatever you want. Be anything you want. Do anything you want. It's okay. See, that's sin is what it is. And it's acceptance of sin and wickedness. Oh, man, I got to go to that one. Give me a second here. We're going to take this and we are going to go right to here and talk about this guy. Queer pastor says you're a heretic if you don't believe God has gender neutral and female pronouns.
Here's the thing. All you all that are freaking out about people using feminine pronouns for God are...
We talked about this before, but it bears repeating.
...are actually heretics. Because Orthodox Christian theology says that there's a Trinity. And the Trinity says God is a Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit has always been gender neutral. The Spirit...
The Spirit's not a gender. God is not... God, is, in that sense, the Spirit... is a spirit. It has nothing to do with a feminine. It is a spirit. The Holy Spirit. And He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you.
It has sometimes been feminine. So at very least you have to acknowledge that within the Trinity, within the Godhead, there is more than one pronoun used. There is more than one gender identity of God. Also, all language that we use to speak of God is a metaphor, because God is not a human being. Our words cannot contain the infinite reality that God is. So don't get caught up on language that people use to talk about God. Rather, honor God with your life and the way you live and love your neighbors as yourself. Because that's what Jesus taught us to actually be focused on. Here's the thing.
Look, you little condescending twit. That's not what Jesus taught us. He didn't teach us that love was anally raping somebody. That's not what he taught us. He didn't teach us that was love. Let's be real. That's a lie. That's not the definition of love. But what are they? They are deceitful workers. They are deceitful workers. That's who they are. This is what they do. See, strong speech needs to be given to these people. Warnings needs to be given to these people. Straight speech needs to be given to these people. And I mean it in more ways than one. Straight speech. Because they are defending sin. They are defending wickedness. They are defending debauchery. They are defending perversion. That's not the gospel. But they're perverts. And that's what they do. It's the work that they do. It's the deceitful work that they do. They are pagans. They are pagans that have filled pulpits. They practice paganism. That's what they practice. Why? Well, they're pagans. Pagans practice what they believe. They're pagans. And pagans do what pagans practice what pagans practice. That's what they are. Now, here's another UCC church. They call it a gospel drag, gospel brunch. And by the way, you notice that it's a woman running this. It's a Jezebel, nasty, filthy woman running this. Who has that spirit of Jezebel in her. that's ruling over her that's practicing this. That's who they are. And they are going to claim that they are Christians. They're not going to say they're of Satan. They're not going to say they worship the devil. They're going to say that they worship Christ. Why? They're deceitful workers. But they're not teaching the doctrine according to godliness. They're not teaching godliness. What are they teaching? What Jude said they would teach. For certain men have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And they call this the grace and love of God. That's why when we go out on the street and we preach the Bible, people get angry with us. They get angry. Why do they get angry? Because they believed a false gospel. That's why. They believe a false gospel. That's why. So that's what happens. Let me see where this is. Hang on a second. Let's see. Here's another one. We'll get to that in a second. Not that one. Not that runt. This one. We'll finish with this and then we'll go to the next one here. This is Jesus' house, and Jesus knows how to throw a party. If you have a joy in your heart after seeing these ladies perform, so it's all based on a lie because they're not ladies. They're men. They have another gospel. This is a pagan pulpit.
You know her, you love her with all your
how could these idiots even think this is real? The power of deception. They have devils. And God will give you over to that if that's what you want. If you want that spirit, you'll get it. I'm not going to make you watch the whole thing because it makes you sick, but... So, let me get this straight. So, this is a moving of God. Why would you even go to church? If this is what they were doing, why would you even go? Why would you even go to that freak show? What in the world would possess, I know, devils. That's what will possess them. Devils. Devils.
Go in peace and love and joy and acceptance and tolerance and then come see us again.
I know I got a Windows threat. Yeah, I'm sure I do. Anyway, this is the gospel of lasciviousness. That's the wickedness that they invite. That's the sin that they invite. Now, there's real life consequences to these actions. Look at this. Court kidnaps a child for not affirming gender identity after public school reports them. If you need another reason to pull your children out of public school and homeschool them, look no further than a recent court case in the state of Indiana. An appeals court just ruled that Indiana parents cannot retain custody of their child because they refuse to affirm the child's gender identity, which they say led to an eating disorder. A family case man, see, you can't let people teach your children perversion and wickedness at the public school and indoctrinate them and expect that everything's going to go fine. Sending your children to the public school is like sending them to hell. Why don't you send them to a brothel? Why don't you send them to a whorehouse? Why don't you send them to the sodomite house? Why don't you send them to Satan's house? There you go. A family case manager investigated the matter, meeting with the parents, child, and siblings, and speaking with the representative of the child's residential school. A preliminary inquiry from the FCM revealed that both the mother and child said the child had been suffering from an eating disorder during the following year, and that the child had yet to be evaluated by a medical professional. The report also stated the parents had withdrawn the child from school and had not indicated they were going to re-enroll in a new school. The child had been in therapy, but the parents had discontinued it. The child did not feel mentally or emotionally safe in the home. Mother said things such as child's preferred name is the blank that killed, I'll quote her, is the bitch that killed my son, end quote, and child. would be more likely to have thought of self-harm and suicide if the child were to return to the family home due to mental and emotional abuse. According to the court documents, the DCS received reports that the mother had been verbally and emotionally abusing then 16-year-old child by using rude and demeaning language towards the child regarding the child's transgender identity. And as a result, the child had thoughts of self-harm because they do not accept the child's transgender identity. Arguing that if the child remained in custody with the parents who refused to affirm the child's gender identity, it would lead to self-harm. Therefore, the courts found that instead of treating the child's mental illness and rebellious behavior, the parents would be punished for operating from a place of sound logic and reason. Therefore, the court concluded the child's continued removal is not contrary to the Chin 6 statute, that is supported by sufficient evidence that it is in the child's best interest. That the child's continued removal from the home does not violate the parents' constitutional rights to care, custody, and control of the child, to their rights to free exercise of religion. The parents have the right to exercise their religious beliefs, but they don't have the right to exercise them in a manner that causes physical or emotional harm to the child. The opinion of the court reads. Now, what I would say to you is that allowing the world to indoctrinate your children and a bunch of pagans, listen to me, the public school is pagan. It is a pagan institution that if you send your children to a pagan institution, they will be pagans because they're being taught paganism. If you send them to churches that teach paganism, they will be pagans because you're indoctrinating them with paganism. If you teach them paganism, they will become pagans. If you indoctrinate them and send them to an institution that teaches paganism, why would you be surprised if they came out transgendered pagans? Sodomite pagans. Perverted pagans. Transformed pagans. You're sending them someplace that teaches them paganism. It indoctrinates them with paganism. They're going to be pagans. If you send them to a church that accepts Revoice, they're going to be perverted pagans. If you send them to organizations that teach paganism, they will be pagans. That's... If you don't preach and teach them the proper role of the sexes, if you don't instruct them in righteousness, if you don't raise your boys to be men and your girls to be God-fearing holy ladies, they will be pagans. If you don't teach them the word of God, they will be pagans. If you don't pray for their souls, they will be pagans. If you send them to government indoctrination centers, they will be status. They will learn to be little pagan status. They will be little pagan status. They will not know what it means to be a woman or a lady. I'm going to repeat this for you so you understand this. When God blesses you with daughters, you are to teach them and prepare them to be godly wives. Their purpose in life, one, is to glorify God. Two, it is to be a helpmeet to their husband one day. It is not to have a career. It is not to get a degree. It is not to be a leader. It is not to do any of those things. What is the purpose of teaching your daughters exactly how the public school teaches them? The public school teaches your daughter, well, that when she graduates high school, then you just send her off to college and she gets a degree and a career. Why? Show me that in the Bible. Paul said, I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the home, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's how you're supposed to train them. Young men have a purpose in life. You know what? Young men aren't just here to play video games and have fun all day. You train your boys to be men. You train your boys to prepare for the future. You train your boys to be men, to raise a family, to lead a wife, to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you're teaching them contrary to that, you're teaching them wrong. According to the scriptures, you are teaching them wrong. And you are teaching them pagan philosophies. You're teaching your daughter how to be a pagan. If you're not teaching her to be a godly wife, and by the way, you dads, you're to take care of that girl until she's married. That's your responsibility. You're to care for her. You are to care for her. And if you're not, you're failing her. If you're sending her to work to go earn her own way and to make money, she has no clue about what her purpose is in life. And you haven't directed her and taught her what her purpose is in life. Her purpose is not to become a career-minded feminist. That's not her purpose in life. You can be anything you want to be. Oh, no, you can't. You can be anything God wants you to be. You are not your own, for you are bought and paid for with a price. You can't be anything you want to be. You can be anything God wants you to be. And by the way, God doesn't want daughters that grow up in Christian homes to become like the world and to be an executive and to be a politician and to be a career-minded person. God wants them to be raised to be helpmates, to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Satan knows that. That's why he wants to talk you into raising your daughter like a bunch of pagans. You know how many churches, by the way, and fundamental Baptist churches with colleges that are raising pagans? They're raising them as pagans. They may be saved, but they're raising them with pagan philosophies. Yeah. They're raising them with pagan philosophies. They're raising their daughters with pagan philosophies. And the pulpits are full of paganism. They're teaching paganism. They're teaching daughters to be like men. They don't even know. That's why these girls run around immodestly. They put their tight britches on. They put their yoga pants on. They put their tights on and they wear them as clothes and they walk around with them and they show their bodies off. Why? Well, they've been raised like men. So that's why they do it. And they don't think anything of it. And their mom doesn't think anything of it. What baffles me is Christian mothers let their daughters run around in yoga pants. Really? Your daughters have tights on, like outside their clothing, like not underneath their clothing. It is their clothing. And you can see every curve of their body. What is that? It's pagan. It's pagan. That's what it is. It's paganism. Mm-hmm. That's what paganism is. They're a bunch of pagans. Pagans run around half naked. That's what pagans do. They just run around naked. They run around showing their bodies off. Justin Money said, I cannot tell my wife what to wear. I tried. Well, number one, if she's saved, she needs to know what God wants her to wear. And number two, if you have her heart, then her body won't be hard to follow. That's just it. Her body won't be hard to follow if you have her heart. That's just how it works. That's the reason why. Number one, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to have a heart to obey the Lord. This is what it is. And that's sad when you don't see that, but part of that's because people aren't in good churches either. They're not in good churches serving the Lord, being faithful to God in church every Sunday, a part of a good church, a good gospel preaching church. That's the problem. But I'll tell you this. It's a bunch of paganism. And that's what all this is. See, you sent, this person sent their daughter, or son, whatever it is, to school, to a public school, to a pagan public school. And and all the friends are pagan. And all the people they're around is pagan. And you're surprised they became a pagan? I'm not. And then you go to churches today and the pulpits are pagan. All the pulpits are pagan. That's right, Rachel Bicey. She said reading the Bible will change the heart. Absolutely. So then, when these people are surrounded by paganism, they teach paganism. They just do what pagans do. So, there's a lot of people that name the name of Christ and what they're following is just pure paganism. These daughters running around. Most of the time, and I'm talking about in fundamental Baptist churches, most of the time, they raise the boys and the girls exactly alike. They are raised exactly the same. To do the same things, to try to devise, to try to get their worth from the same things. They're in competition with the boys and the girls are in competition with each other. Or they are intermingled with each other in such a way that perversion can come from that very quickly. Very quickly. Mm-hmm. How it goes. And they raise them like pagans. AZ Bandit said it will be against the law to not include LGBTQ in our churches in the name of the civil rights. It's coming. Well, in 501c3 churches, it probably will come a lot quicker. Because they have legal entities, and they're a creature of the state. So you're right. A lot of those churches are going to be that way. They have a tax identification number. They receive goodies from the government, just like Beto said. Beto said that churches should not, Beto said that churches should lose their tax exempt status if they do not include LGBTQ. Well, maybe they should. Because those churches agreed that they would support public policy. When they signed up for their tax identification numbers. When they signed their 501c3 paperwork or 508 paperwork. Or their state incorporation, which is a backdoor to 501c3. A lot of pastors say, well, I'm not a 501c3. Then you find out they're state incorporated. They're a nonprofit organization and they're state incorporated, which is a 508 church, which is a backdoor to 501c3 that makes you have to follow suit with those things. David Gibbs, the sellout attorney that sold people down the river. Baptist churches down the river and fundamentalist churches down the river. He said one of his greatest fears was for 501c3 churches was that they would use the public policy clause for the LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Yet he still continued to incorporate churches. What they do. What they teach. Because they're compromised. Okay. Here's another one. Deceitful workers. By the way, when you leave the Bible and it's not your authority when you're studying any subject, when you do that, you'll get bewitched. This man got bewitched. Let me show you something. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Fabian said, I believe that man knew what he was doing. I agree. Now this man got bewitched. The Bible's not his authority. Watch what he says about the Bible. And then listen to what he says about his own understanding.
So when I started to engage this conversation of faith, sexuality, and gender several years ago, I just have to admit that I started to engage it as simply an issue to solve, a debate to win, a theological argument to you know, win the other person over. And
do you hear what he's saying? He's making it light that those people are on their way to hell. That they believe a false gospel. That they believe something that is damning them to hell. But he makes light of it. Like, oh, it's no big deal. Right? He makes light of it. Hang on 1 second. He makes light of it.
Early on in my journey, I just sat down.
I hate it when they say that. Early on in my journey, when I was on my journey, I hate it when I hear them say that. I hate it. I already think it's going to be like, I already think it's going to be Fruit Loopy. When I hear him say it, I already think this is going to be effeminate.
I got to know actual LGBT people and just to listen to their stories. Not to listen to refute or listen to debate, but just to listen in order to understand.
I was going to listen in order to understand. Now, here's what some people don't like. And this is what they don't like about Pastor Cooley. Okay? When I'm out there and I'm preaching to them, when I'm preaching and I know they're in sin and they're wicked as hell and they're against God and they walk up to me and they're going to defend the gospel drag show, I don't really want to hear from them. They need to hear the truth. I don't need to hear from them. I don't want to be a queer. I don't want to be a Fruit Loop. I don't want to be a sodomite. I don't want to be a transgender. But they need to be saved by the grace of Almighty God because they're going to die and go to hell. So their defense of sin and wickedness and a wicked, lascivious lifestyle, I don't need to hear.
Listen in order to love, and I honestly can tell you that my life was just really transformed through that.
See what happened? He got transformed. He just told you. He said, my life was completely transformed. Yeah. You listened to all these perverts defend their perversion. And the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm not listening to devils speak. I'm not listening to your story. I'm not listening to devils speak to me about their perversion. And about how God's got to be okay. I have a Bible. The Word of God is my authority. It's not what I think. It's not what I feel. But it's what God's Word says. And I don't care what they think or feel.
Story after story, person after person, I found my heart just absolutely changed, and it just forever reshaped how I engaged this conversation.
My heart completely changed. Huh. So they converted you. Yeah, they transformed him. Yes. They transformed him. That's what they did. You're not supposed to listen to evil. You're not supposed to listen to compromising serpent religious fake antichrist people defend their sin.
Conversation. And so now, you know, I'm a Bible guy. I love to study the Bible, and I think the Bible's super important in this conversation. But if we get the Bible,
I love the Bible. I love, like Donald Trump, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Hey, the Bible, 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 the Bible. But he said, but there is no but. The Bible is our authority. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He got transformed. he listened to evil and he got converted. He got converted. And that's what he's defending. Now, he's a spokesperson for it. Because he got converted. That's why you don't listen to evil. You don't listen to perverts talk to you like that. You show them what the Bible says. Show them what God says about sin, about their sin, and you move on. You don't listen to their evil.
Bible right and get love wrong, we're wrong. And we're not going to learn how to love. We're not going to learn how to love until we learn how to listen.
Yeah, you can have the Bible right and your love wrong. So here's the guy that Sprinkle, the guy that you just heard from, here's the guy that he wants you to listen to. Okay? Listen to what he says. This is the guy that you're supposed to listen to. Like, I'm supposed to listen to this guy. No, I'm not. Openly gay dude interviewed by Preston Sprinkle. Watch what he says.
Matt, you look like you're ready to talk. So tell us a bit about your journey.
Yeah, and Matt, thank you so much for being here. I am gay, same sex attracted. I like boys. I like. I like boys. And what's more important is that I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me.
Did you see how... Okay. I don't know if you... Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you saw how absolutely... I want to use that word so bad, but I'm not going to use it. How absolutely fruity that he said Jesus when he said it. Watch how he says it.
I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Basically, this is what they're teaching. And he said boys, by the way. You noticed that, didn't you? He didn't say men. He said boys. Did you notice that? Because that's what he said. He said boys. He didn't say men. You just remember that. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that, because that's what he said. Northwestern University celebrates coming out. Remember, what are these people? They're pagans. This is these are pagan pulpits. Northwestern University celebrates Coming Out Day with Gays and Gospel, tribute to queers' influence on gospel music.
Gays and Gospel is a tribute to the LGBT community and all of the contributions that they've made to gospel music from its genesis in the 1920s.
It also unearths the stories of some people whose
stories we know, but then there are those treasures. James Cleveland being a prime example. I need you to help me to hold on. Because he wasn't, you know, a stereotypical effeminate man, but he was in fact gay. The evening for Gays and Gospel will be a combination of lecture about the history of the contribution of the LGBT community, but also performance.
You might see a little pageantry, you might see a little percussive demonstrations.
My hope is that people leave the chapel humming, singing, just the way we do in church. But also with the knowledge that the humming and clapping that they participated in was created by the queer community.
It was created by the queer community. You see what they're doing? Right? This is the... What are they? They're deceitful workers. They're pagans. And they're transforming the churches. And the Bible warned about it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These are the doctrines of devils. These are the pagan pulpits. This is paganism in the churches. That's what they are. You and I are commanded by God . And by the way, it's no surprise that black gospel music was full of sodomites. Because it is. And it was. And it always has been. It still is. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the world we live in. We're to earnestly contend for the gospel and the faith once delivered unto the saints. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things! Those people need to repent. If they even can at this point. Religious false prophets like that and religious purposeful, deceitful workers of iniquity generally never do come back from that. When they purposely set out to deceive, I don't mean somebody that was a false convert that gets saved. I'm talking about that somebody that has set out to preach opposite of the Word of God and deceitfully handle the word of God and do it in a way to damn people to hell, like Simon the Sorcerer, like others. They generally do not ever come back from that. Generally, they never come back. God help us in these last days. Please, Lord Jesus, even so, come, Lord Jesus.
The storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a sin. Now who rulest wind and water, stand by me and in the midst of tribulations stand by me.
And desire is on the
sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Amen. Amen. All right. Been listening since 2012. Boy, that's a long time. Praise the Lord for that. About 10 years. Wow. Anyway, all right. Well, God bless you all. Pray for our ministry. I'll be back, Lord willing, on Friday, 2 p.m. Central Time. And we'll have another broadcast. And then Saturday morning, we will be getting up early and traveling to Anoka to the day parade there, preaching a little bit there, and hopefully being back home a little early so we can get some work done tomorrow, Saturday night here with some well work that needs to be done. But anyway, so you pray for all that. If please pray for our ministry. If you'd like to support our ministry, pray for us. Number one, we could use the prayers. Number two, you can give to our ministry. You can give through PayPal. There's a link here on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. It is a give button, but you can do it directly on PayPal too. But if you click there and you click PayPal, it'll take you right to our PayPal, or you can mail us something here at 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Or you could do all kinds of different ways. Some people do, Coinbase. Some people do, Apple Pay. Some people do Venmo, all kinds of different ways, Cash App, all kinds of different stuff. So whatever the Lord leads you to do, if nothing at all, that's okay too. Just pray that God would use somebody else and lead somebody else to do that. I appreciate it. God bless you all. You take care. And in about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, I'll be preaching live, OPBC, back on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, live there, opening up the book of Ephesians. We'll be starting expository preaching through the book of Ephesians, and we will only get through one verse tonight. And it is verse 1, by the way. I thought I was going to go to 2, but then I decided God showed me some more things that we could teach in 1. So we'll be in Ephesians 1:1, and then next week, Lord willing, Ephesians 1:2. And then maybe we'll get 2 or 3 verses at a time out then. But praise the Lord, we're getting going here with Ephesians. Finished all up with the book of Acts, and that was an interesting thing for 3 years there, and what a blessing that was. And now we're moving along to Ephesians, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. Also, Sunday mornings, I'm preaching on the will of God. Be back in the will of God as well on this Sunday coming up, and looking forward to that and all that good stuff. I have to get some work done tomorrow with that. I got to put together that sermon. So anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And always something to listen to. Check our YouTube page for new uploads. I'll be uploading another sermon tomorrow on YouTube. And probably Saturday I'll upload another one possibly. So we get caught up with a few things like that. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And appreciate your prayers and your support. And hope it's a blessing to you. Share this with many people that need to hear these messages. All right? You all take care, and we'll... hear from you soon.